Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Chittletow from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics. Joining me from Miami, Florida is Rashmi Aaron. Rashmi will be speaking at the 2018 Compliance Institute in Las Vegas. And Rashmi, I just want to first begin by saying thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Adam.
So you've got an interesting story and not the one that's typical at our meetings and from our speakers. Why don't you begin, if you could, by just giving people some of your background?
Sure, thank you. So I grew up in Miami, Florida, and after attending UNC Chapel Hill and a short little stint on Wall Street in investment banking, I ended up at Columbia Law School, where I graduated top of my class, and worked in law, both out in California and then ultimately back in Florida near my family. And back in around 2004, I started my own legal practice focused on real estate law. And in 2007, I met a real estate developer who was engaging in some creative transactions. And he was introduced to me by a colleague and immediately upon the first meeting asked me to pursue a very creative type of transaction, and, you know, without asking the hard questions and without noticing certain things and moral issues that were going on in the transaction, I went ahead and engaged in these transactions as the lawyer, as the title agent. After about, I would say about 100 closings, both in Tampa and in the West Palm Beach, which is down here in the Southern District of Florida, I stopped working with the real estate developer. And about 7 years later, I was indicted for bank fraud for issues having to deal with this developer. So what ultimately happened was I served about 6 months of a sentence, of a 1 year and 1 day sentence. And from that, I've now learned a lot of the lessons that I should have learned along the way that, you know, it took me having gone through this challenging experience to understand what I've learned, behavioral ethics and all sorts of issues that I wasn't really aware of, why I wasn't even in my horizon of thinking. And so now hoping to help and talk to people about putting it into the forefront of their minds all the time, every single day.
You know, you're very much not alone in your story in terms of sort of really not thinking or realizing what you were doing at the time, and then only afterwards sort of does life catch up with you, whether it's, you know, by an external agent or internally realizing, oh my gosh, what's going on here? Why do you think people end up going astray, you know, based on, you know, not the people who, you know, say, geez, I'm going to go and commit a fraud, but those who end up, you know, sort of missing it ethically, morally, legally?
Well, I believe that we all have our life circumstances, and at any given point in time, we're facing various challenges within our families, within ourselves, within our professional lives. In my case, I, at the time, had two little children under the age of two. I was facing some marital issues, and it was easy to rationalize, which I realized I was doing now. And, you know, the rationalizations were all included things like, I didn't want to lose a client. I didn't want to lose financial stability that I was immediately getting. I felt a lot of pressure to provide for my children and to live up to a specific lifestyle and providing for my children and their education. I also felt a lot of cultural pressure. In my case, I come from, my family's from India. So there was a lot of cultural pressure innately that I brought upon myself, but certainly I felt within my community of achieving. And, you know, the standard definition for sure, I would say for most first generation Americans is to make money and, you know, to have stature in our community. And I absolutely used to define myself by that. And, you know, so I believe that these decisions that we make, though I certainly didn't have an intention to commit a crime, as I look back and ultimately why I did plead guilty was because I acknowledged that I should have been realizing and noticing what was happening. And I was just not ready to face the hard questions and ask myself, why is this developer doing what he's doing? And to stop myself from engaging in these specific practices.
It's an interesting tale. And I, you know, I think while a lot of people have different, you know, personal backgrounds for it, they all, you know, seem to end up in the same place. So how do we improve decision-making? I mean, you know, most of us, no matter what our circumstances, have, you know, a certain amount of pressure to succeed in life, to maintain the lifestyle that we're living, or, you know, achieve one that we would like, you know, how behaviorally do we try, you know, as compliance professionals to, you know, get people to stop, pause, and say, sort of, wait a minute, this isn't what I should be doing?
Well, I've done a lot of research now, as have obviously many other people, on the behavioral ethics points. And you know what I realized is there's certain aspects of what was happening in my life that I didn't even realize what was happening. You know, I was so overconfident in my biases and how I was actually operating. So in my head, what was going on was I was thinking, I'm a good person. I'm an ethical person. So whatever I'm doing by definition must be ethical or must be right or must be moral. So I didn't even engage in that awareness aspect. It didn't even occur to me that I should look at, hey, is this action right or wrong? You know, so there's this, you know, combined with ethical blind spots of, you know, what's happening in the background of my life, I didn't even recognize was affecting my decision making, you know. So aspects such as moral awareness and moral judgment and commitment, and then how you get into and how you commit your moral action are things that I never even honestly had even learned. So I think as we move forward, what I've been really focusing on is first trying to engage people in conversation, to create a culture of conversation around these issues, around candor and integrity and ethics, so that it's something that's not just deemed as checking a box and, oh, let's have a quick little one-day session, but it's an ongoing conversation constantly, whether it's within our corporations, within our families, you know, in our relationships, in our friendships, any organization, really. There should be a constant, ongoing, prevailing principle that this is something we should be talking about. We should always be looking at these issues from all aspects so that nothing, you know, comes in from a blind spot. Nothing happens without us really taking a look at it. And in my case, I recognize I did not listen to my inner voice. I didn't listen to my gut. And, you know, as I've gone back and tried to dissect what happened back in 2007 and 8, there was certainly like that gnawing feeling, like something was not right. And I just kind of ignored it and poo-pooed it away. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to understand why I was feeling that way. And I just kept pushing forward to achieve, you know, a goal. I was so focused on achieving the goal that I wasn't stopping and pausing, like you said. So I really believe that if we can start changing how we train and how we create our compliance programs to really spark, you know, true authentic conversation and role playing and, you know, putting individual people within specific scenarios that force them to really think through what are the consequences of specific actions being taken, that's going to go a long way.
Yeah, it sounds like it's, to me, taking away two things. It's one, it's encouraging people to think before they act, even when something seems like it's not worth thinking about, we can just do this. And secondly, mm-hmm. it's sort of analogous to, you know, like the posters you see in New York. If you see something, say something. It's also if you sort of feel something, say something, and changing the
right.
dialogue so that you encourage it.
Right. You know, I think that that's a great analogy. It's funny because I spent a lot of time in New York, and as well as I went to law school there. And now, you know, I'm fortunate to be able to talk to organizations within the compliance field and multinationals about compliance. And I believe that as I have continued to start sharing my experience, what I'm recognizing is that there's a huge value in the conversation, and people hear when they hear my story and other people, you know, in similarly situated scenarios, it almost opens the door to be a little bit more human. You know, I think that there's a facade that many of us have grown up trying to be perfect, trying to be infallible, you know, not vulnerable. And what I've learned is that when you allow yourself to be vulnerable and ask questions and ask for help, the strength lies in seeking out advice and seeking out those relationships that will advise you, who have your best interests at heart. And you know, I think the compliance sector, you know, corporations and entities that are involved in this sector, I think all of us are hoping to promote that this level of integrity within corporations through candor, through conversation, through open and safe spaces. You know, whether it's a department or it's an individual or, you know, an ethical mentoring system, like a buddy system, you know, there's many different, I think, opportunities for corporations to engage in effective compliance programs and, you know, really long-term sustainability of these compliance programs going forward. So it's not just, you know, a boring session where employees feel forced to have to go to, but rather something that's interesting and opens their eyes to, geez, this is like real, this could happen. And oftentimes when I'm up there and talking and sharing my story, it puts a face, a human face, to something that many people don't want to think about as ever being able to occur in their lifetime.
Well, thank you for putting a human voice to the story for this podcast. I'm glad
you could take the time to share with us.
And I'd like to thank all of you for taking the time to listen in. I'm Adam Turteltaub. I hope today we were able to expand your compliance perspectives. Have a very good day.